I'd like you to turn to two passages this morning in your Bibles, Exodus 2 and Hebrews chapter 11. Exodus chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 11. The message this morning is on mothers, our greatest teacher. While you turn in your Bible to those passages, there's a list that someone compiled of things that our mothers have taught us. First, they taught us to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. They taught us about prayer. You better pray, that'll come out of that carpet. They taught us about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. They taught us logic, because I said so. That's why. They taught us foresight. Always wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. They taught us osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. They taught us contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? They taught us stamina. You'll sit there till that spinach is finished. They taught us weather. It looks as if a tornado swept through your room. They taught us hypocrisy. If I've told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate. And they taught us a circle of life. I brought you into this world. I can take you out of it. And finally, they taught us behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. All right, let's go to Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man out of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took him for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime with pitch and put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood far off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Go to Hebrews chapter 11 now. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses, probably one of the most highly revered men in the Bible by the people of Israel, up there with Abraham and some of the others. He boldly confronted Pharaoh when it came time for the people of Israel to be delivered out of Egypt. He courageously led them through the Red Sea in the wilderness for 40 years. He patiently endured their griping, their complaining, their rebellion, their opposition. 40 years he endured that. He received the law while alone up in the Mount Sinai. Joshua went partway up with him, but Moses went the rest of the way alone and remained there and received directly from the mouth of God that which was written on those tablets, the Ten Commandments. The Old Testament law is referred to as the law of Moses. In fact, many times as you go through the New Testament, when the Pharisees were confronting Jesus Christ, they would say something like, well, Moses commanded, speaking to the Old Testament law. Now, they understood it came from God, but this is the high reverence that they had for Moses, the man. He taught the law to the people. He oversaw the construction of the tabernacle and then instructed them in establishing the worship of that tabernacle. And as he neared the end of his life, he groomed and prepared Joshua to take over the leadership of the nation of Israel after his passing, to lead them into the promised land. Joshua is probably one of my favorite characters in the Bible, because as you read the book of Joshua and you study his life, you realize that he is probably one of the least flawed, not perfect, we're all sinners, but he is probably one of the least flawed characters you'll find in the scriptures. Very successful man, accomplished some many great things. But I believe the credit for that goes to Moses, who trained him, who prepared him, and then set him up in that leadership role. I don't think Joshua would have been the man that he was had not Moses been the one who prepared him. But who deserves the credit for the man that Moses became? Who influenced his life to have the boldness and the courage that he had in confronting Pharaoh and leading the people of Israel out of Egypt? His mother. In the few short years that she had him, she influenced him greatly. And then when the time came, turned him over. First to Pharaoh's daughter, but then she got him back again to nurse and carry for him for a while, then to Pharaoh. What a woman this is. What type of a woman was Jochebed, his mother? First, she was a woman that feared God. She refused to turn him over to be killed, because the commandment in Exodus was that all the male Hebrews that were born were to be killed. You read about that in chapter 1. The Hebrew midwives began hiding the children and trying to protect the boy children from being killed in this way. And Jochebed was one of those. But for 3 months, she did that. She kept him sheltered. She kept him hidden. She kept him out of sight. But then she realized, this isn't going to work. I'm going to be exposed, and my child is going to be killed. And so she devised this plan to try to see if Pharaoh's daughter would take her. But she did all this because she feared God. In spite of the threat to her own life, she did these things. Look at Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. The beginning of wisdom and good understanding is fearing God. Jochebed feared God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. Proverbs 14:26. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. What was it that brought her to the point of allowing her son at 3 months old, putting him in this little basket and putting him in the water? Who knows what kind of creatures were dwelling in that water as well that were a threat to that child. But she prepared this. She put that child there. It says she, because she saw he was a proper child. Somehow there was something that God communicated to her that this was no ordinary child, that God had a plan and purpose for his life. And so she's working to preserve him. And it was the fear of God that drove her to do these things. She feared and she trusted him. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the stairs of death. And the multitude of the people is the king's honor, but in the want of the people is the destruction of the prince. Go to chapter 19, Proverbs 19 and verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Fear the Lord. That is what drove her. That is what motivated her to protect and provide for this child. First, she feared God, so she preserved the life of this child. And then she preserved his future as well. You know what? Moms today need to learn to fear God, first and foremost. There's a lot of things that we're told to fear, to be afraid of. But the one thing we need to fear most above all is to fear God and do what he tells us to do. To not to fear the school board, to not to fear all the threats around us, not to fear the state, not to fear public opinion, not to fear the future. And don't fear your child, Mom. You fear God. And then you follow along the precepts that God has given us about raising and training those children. Fear God above all else. That's what Jochebed had, this fear of God. Secondly, I want you to see this. She taught him diligently. Because she feared God, she's following what God has told her to do with a child. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. In that law that Moses received later on, so she didn't have all these things that we're going to read here, but the principles, I believe, were still established in the hearts and minds of these people. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Fear him. Look at verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. You want to have the word of God not only before you all the time, but before your child as well. Teaching them that they too need to fear God and need to be obedient to all that God has commanded us. That's what Jochebed did. She taught him diligently. Over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul's writing to young Timothy, a man who, like Moses did with Joshua, Paul did with Timothy, trained him, prepared him. And now Timothy is pastor of the church at Ephesus. And he writes the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy to encourage and instruct him on some things. And he goes to chapter 3 and he says that from a child, speaking to Timothy, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Early there in chapter 1, he says, I remember the faith that was in thee, and which dwells first in thy mother Lois and in thy grandmother Eunice. There were two other women that had a tremendous impact upon the life of their son or their grandson. They taught him diligently. And that teaching had brought that young man to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Parents, I can't emphasize enough the importance of teaching our children. Yes, that's part of the responsibility of the church. My responsibility as a pastor is to teach all of you, to give you instruction from God's Word. And that's why we have the Sunday school, and that's why we have the teen group, and that's why we have the truth trackers, and that's why we have our Sunday evening Bible study. But I can only supplement what hopefully has been established at home. It's very tough in just a few hours a week to give to your children what they need to sustain them in this world in which we live. That's our responsibility, parents. And maybe not so much in this society today in which we live, but still to a strong degree, moms are the primary teachers. If you don't do it, Mom, who's going to? Teach them diligently. Have an impact on them. Susanna Wesley raised 9 children. 2 of them were John and Charles Wesley. Many of the hymns in our book, hymn book, are written by Charles Wesley. My favorite Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, was written by Charles Wesley. His hymns are filled with scriptural principles and oftentimes scriptures themselves. Their mother raised 9 children, and she used these guidelines to raise those children. First, she says this, subdue self-will in each child. This is the only strong and rational foundation of a religious education. Without this, precept and example will be ineffectual. Where this is thoroughly done, then the child is capable of being governed by the reason of his parents till its own understanding comes to maturity and the principles of religion have taken root in the mind of a child. Folks, that's what we want. Is for not them to just accept our faith, but to make it their own. Someone has well said, God does not have any grandchildren. You don't become a child of God because your parents were. You become a child of God by your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's no grandchildren in the family of God. Only children. It's a personal thing. And that's what Paul spoke about Timothy, his parents, his mother and his grandmother having done. They taught him the scriptures so that then to the point where he made their faith his own. It became his. That was just the first one. The second one is this. And maybe not all of these would be worth you applying in your own lives, but I think some of them could be useful. 2, all children in bed by 8 p.m. Expected a groan on that one. 2, take your medicine without complaining. 4, no eating between meals. 5, work with God to save the soul of each child. She took time with each of her 9 children every day to instruct them and teach them, most of all, that their soul would be given by them to God. 6, teach each child to pray as soon as he can speak. 7, require all to be still during family worship. 8, give children nothing they cry for. Number nine, give them only what they ask for quietly. Number 10, prevent lying. Punish no fault which is first confessed. Number 11, do not allow a sinful act to go unpunished. Number 12, command and reward good behavior. Number 13, preserve property rights, even in the smallest of matters. Number 14, strictly observe all promises. Number 15, require no daughter to work before she can read well. Number 16, teach children to fear the rod. There's some biblical principles that she is applying in the instruction of her children. You can't argue with the results in the lives of her children. All of them successful. She is a woman who diligently taught her child, Jochebed, even though just those few years, she diligently taught Moses, and he became the man that he was. Number three, this, she was a woman of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure. Let me try getting the right verse here. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You know, when you stop and think about the details of this account, it's truly amazing. She prepares this basket. An ark was simply a rectangular shaped basket. The Ark of the Covenant that they had later in the tabernacle, that's what it was, and that's what I'm basing that on. But some kind of a basket, and it said it had pitch and slime all around it to keep it from sinking in the water. But then she takes this 3-month-old baby and goes down to the river's edge and places that basket in the water and walks away. You'd have child services on your back if you did that today. But she feared God and she trusted him. She was a woman of faith. She knew there was something special about that baby. And in spite of all the dangers that might have been around him, she's trusting God to take care of her child. And she puts them there and walks away. Now the sister's kind of keeping an eye on things. And certainly they scoped this out. They knew that Pharaoh's daughter came regularly to bathe in this place. But still, there's a lot of things left to chance in this, right? They don't know how she's going to react, Pharaoh's daughter. They don't know what she's going to do. They place that baby there, walk away, and wait. And Pharaoh's daughter comes down, and the baby begins to cry on cue. And she notices it and goes to the child, what's this? And picks him out of the water. It's what? Go back to Exodus 2. Let's look at that again. Exodus chapter 2. Start at verse 5. Verse 4, the sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Verse 5, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Go see what that is. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. So obviously they must have him covered up and so forth. He wasn't completely exposed, but still. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. She knows this is one of those children that her father has ordered to be executed. But she keeps it anyway. They had no idea she'd respond like that. They might have hoped that. There may have been maybe even some indication. But all they had was trust in God that he provide for the child. Verse 7, this is what gets real interesting. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter. So she's been kind of lurking off in the distance. And as soon as they pull the baby out and, well, it's a Hebrew child, she comes running up and says, shall I go to call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? Planning the suggestion, you know. How about we just keep the baby and take care of it? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. Well, that worked. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Jochebed gave him up and got him back again. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. She not only got the child back, but she got paid to take care of him. How many moms would like that deal? Faith. God, I'm at the end of my rope. This child is a threat, not only to himself, but to me. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't want him to lose him, Okay, let's try this. And look what God did. Number one, she feared him. Number two, she trusted him to take care of the child. You know, parents, there's times just like that in our lives. I've raised five kids. I've thrown up my hands in frustration many, many times. You see this white hair? It wasn't this white when he was born. It was getting there, but God, I don't know what to do. So I got to go to your word and find out what you want me to do. And sometimes it's just, God, they're yours. Children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. See, they really don't belong to us. They're just entrusted to our care for a period of time. And we do the best that we can. And when we mess up, we confess it and go on. And say, God, I can't do it. You do it. Faith. She was a woman of faith. There comes a point in time when we need to give our kids up. They're not yours forever. God's got a plan and purpose for each one. And there comes a point in time when you need to go, okay, you're making your own choices. I can't control you like I could when you were 6 months old. By 3 years old, sometimes they get a little uncontrollable. You give them to God. And you need to prepare to give them to God. That's what this woman did. She nurses, she cares for him. But then there came a point when, as being raised in Pharaoh's household, No longer is he under the care of the nursemaid or Pharaoh's daughter. Now he belongs to Pharaoh. And he was trained in all the wisdom and the knowledge of the Egyptians. And she had to give that up. But look what the result was. The man that the people of Israel looked to is one of the greatest men in their history. There was a French scholar, an infidel by the name of Lettre, I believe is how it's pronounced. He told his wife after their daughter was born, "Bring up our daughter in the ways of religion and piety, which you have always followed. When she's 15 years of age, you'll bring her to me, and I will then explain my views to her, and she can choose for herself." On her 15th birthday, the mother entered her husband's study. "Our daughter is 15 years old today," she said. "Shall I bring her in?" He says, "Why, certainly," replied Lettre. "But for what special reason? To explain to her my views?" "Oh, no, my dear. No, no. You have made her a good, affectionate, simple, straightforward, bright, and happy creature. My ideas are good enough for me. Who can say that they would be good enough for her? Who can say that they would not destroy or at least damage your work? Bring her in so that I may bless you in her presence for all you have done for her, and that she may love you even more forever." That was a wise man. Even though he was not a believer. But again, it speaks highly to what the mother had done with the life of that child. You do all you can, and then you trust God for your failures. Because there's not a parent in this room this morning that at least one time or other hasn't failed in your child rearing practices. And I guarantee you, there's more than once in my life that I've failed. You trust God. Fourthly, we have the duty of mothers. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Again, this is another, like Timothy, Paul's writing to Titus, another one of his young protégés. He says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, ne teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. The duty of mothers. To pattern for your children. God's role, God's order in the home. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 14, "I therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Raise your children in the fear of God. Teach your children diligently. Trust God and the raising of them. That's the duty of mothers. One more quote as we close this morning. This is from the will of Henry Hines, founder of the H.J. Hines Company. He said this in his will: looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end, I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I also desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there were unusual joys and sorrows, I have been wonderfully sustained by my faith in God through Jesus Christ. This legacy was left me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to it I attribute any success that I have attained. Moms, we got an important role in this world. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a career. I'm not saying you shouldn't work outside of the home. I'm not saying you shouldn't have any other interests. But the greatest masterpiece is the song that Eileen and Sarah sang, that you have to make in life is your children. You're molding a masterpiece, a thing of great beauty. Do so in the fear of God with your faith and trust in Him. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, at times it's an undaunting challenge raising our children. And certainly there are times in our lives when we're at our wits' end. We don't know what to do. When the things are boiling over on the stove and the children are crying and the diapers are messy and the house is a mess. But God, help us to not lose sight of the great responsibility that we have in the raising of our children. And God, as a church, help us to recognize our responsibility as well, even though they may not be our own children by blood. They are ours as part of this congregation. We each have a responsibility to teach and to train them and to be an example to them. God, help us to take this responsibility seriously. God, help mothers especially, but dads as well, to fear you and to trust you. And Father, if there's any here this morning that have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, though we've not really stressed this, help them to understand their need of Jesus Christ, that this church can't save them, this preacher can't save them. It's Jesus Christ who suffered on the cross, shed his blood to take away our sins, and that by faith in him alone can they become a child of God and have a place reserved for them in heaven. God, I pray that you could take my feeble words this morning and apply them to the hearts and the needs of individuals here today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to number 286.